Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Hutchcroft, photographer, freelancer, and curious question asker. Join me for half an hour each week while I sit down with inspiring photographers and pick their brains about growing their business, authentically connecting to their clients, and being a good human in this changing industry. If you're ready to take your photography hobby to the next level and turn it into an actual business, you're in the right place. If you want to hear real life advice from professional photographers and start building the future of your dreams, don't go anywhere. Here we go. Hi, and welcome back to the Unscripted Podcast for Photographers. Today on the show, we've got Eden Strader, a full-time wedding photographer turned business coach, who's here to talk to us about how to build an amazing business that supports an enjoyable life. Self-described as a bit sciencey gal and a bit woo-woo, we cover everything from manifestation to marketing, boundaries to goals, and gut feelings to profitability. This is an amazing conversation to tune into if you feel like you're burning the candle at both ends, feeling a little bit burnt out, and ready to build a business that fulfills you, inspires you, and empowers you on every level. Stay tuned. Could you give us a little bit of a backstory about yourself? Just introduce yourself, tell us about who you are, what you're about, what you love, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, my name is Eden Strader. I am a former destination wedding photographer, now turned business coach. And my primary focus in the business realm is just helping entrepreneurs build sustainable businesses that allow beautiful lives. I am a firm believer that we should literally feel like we're going to Disneyland every day when we go to work. That's why we're self-employed. It should feel amazing, but that we should also have businesses that we get to clock out of and that sustain us both like emotionally and financially so that we can take a step back, have our weekends back, spend time with our loved ones and live, you know, the life of our design.
And you used to be a wedding photographer, but since the pandemic, you focused mainly on education. So can you give us a little timeline around your relationship with photography and like how you ended up where you are?
Yeah. So I am incredibly lucky that I was raised with like really artistic parents. So my mom has always been an art teacher. My dad used to do graphic design. A lot of my siblings are really artistic. So I have like the classic photographer tale of, you know, stealing my parents' point and shoot, carrying that around school, like third grade. I remember having their little point and shoot and carrying it around on the playground. I've always loved it. I took a photography class in junior high and that kind of sold me. And so I just kind of dove into it. Well, not dove into it. I've just kind of always been doing it. And I am originally from Utah and everyone gets married there quite often. Like you get married very young. There's weddings every day of the week. So it was a really natural fall into weddings. I feel like when you're first starting photography, you kind of try everything out. And in Utah, weddings and families are just so easy to fall into because there's no limit to how many are going to be taking place. So fell into weddings, just was obsessed with them and very quickly fell into more like destination work and traveling around the US. And I, towards the end of 2019 now, I'm like, time is weird. Time is not real. I have to always run the numbers.
It's not real. What is time?
No, literally. I, around 2019, got a not unexpected, but a pretty sudden divorce. I was one of those Utah people that got married very, very young. And I had been financially responsible for both me and my ex-partner. And so I'd been working myself to the bone. Got this very unexpected divorce, like just a couple months before the pandemic hit. And so much like everyone, you know, had that pandemic moment of like, let's reevaluate our life. But on top of that, I was also processing in nearly 6 year long relationship. I had met my ex in high school and I was so burnt out with weddings. I had already started to take on less because I was just so drained physically and emotionally. So to add on top of that, the pandemic and my divorce, I was really just, it was a lot. There was a lot going on. I was quarantined alone in a new state. I had just moved like a week before the pandemic hit. Well, I moved out the week the pandemic hit, actually, which was crazy. And another story for another day. But I not only had the chance to sit down and be like, what is going on with my business? Since obviously all weddings were rescheduled, but I was at a state where I got to be like, okay, like what do I want to do with literally my entire life? Like my life has been burned down to the foundation. So we can either just wallow, but we're alone in California. So that wasn't really an option. Like there was only so much I could process. So I tried to look at it more of an opportunity of like, where do I want to go from here. You know, I'm 24, freshly 24 at this point. And I was like, this is my chance to almost get like a second chance at my entire life, because I thought it was going to be mapped out. And so I got this opportunity to just kind of like reevaluate what I wanted to do. And I had been doing education on and off, kind of like on the side as people asked. I had just launched a course and I decided, you know, since I didn't have any weddings, I was going to give that my all while we were all locked at home and see if I could help photographers feel less stressed about what was happening during the pandemic, especially early days when we didn't know it was going to happen. And that's kind of how my education career took off. And I decided I wasn't going to take any more weddings because I didn't have the emotional bandwidth. I'm like, I know anyone listening that shoots weddings knows that you have to be able to give them 100%. And I just couldn't at the time. So I decided to not take on any more. And that is how I'm like, long story long, that's how I got into education full time.
And was part of it like you were like, had just had a divorce and you were like, fuck this. Like, I don't want to be around heaps of couples in love. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't like a fuck this as much as it was just like, oh, this is so depressing.
Yeah.
This is so sad. If I can pride myself on anything, it's that I'm really good at separating my business, like my personal life and my business, if I have to. I always joke that that's on divorced parents who can compartmentalize really easily.
Yeah, out of necessity. Like, so otherwise, you'd be necessity. That person in the back that's like, when the pastor or whatever is like, if anyone has an objection, you're like the photographer that's like, yeah, no, literally, marriage is a bad idea. Don't do it.
No, truly. No, literally. It was really tough. I had to shoot a few in between like our separation and the pandemic happening. And there were a few days, thankfully, like none of my couples knew what was going on. I kept it together pretty well. But like there was a couple times I would have to like go and take a bathroom break, sob my eyes out, fix my makeup in 5 minutes and like run. Yeah, it was horrible. So yeah, there was a big part of me that like I didn't want to do it to myself, but also just such a big part of me was like, I can't do this to my couples. I firmly believe anyone that's getting married deserves vendors that can give it 100%. And I just wasn't going to be able to do that anymore. And so yeah, I took a break. And it's kind of weird to think about now because I shoot again. I only take on like one wedding a year if I really want to. I have my first one next year. That'll be my first in a couple of years. But there was a period where I like didn't shoot for months and months and months. I want to say I didn't shoot for like a year almost, or at least like 8 to 9 months, which is like the longest I've ever gone in my life. Wow. So that was like a really weird period.
You must have needed it though. I don't know. I feel like sometimes you need to step away from something to like reestablish like a new kind of relationship with it.
No, absolutely. And now I've gotten to like, I kind of like gave myself the grace to be like, we'll pick up the camera when we feel ready to again. And that thankfully, you know, hit about a year later. And now I get to do it as like a hobby or when I want to for fun, which is like so magical to have that back as just like not the thing that my income depends on.
Yeah, I feel that. And like, I don't know, I think that you kind of need to be able to remember what it is that you like about it when you're sort of like in the flow of just like shooting heaps of weddings or taking on heaps of clients. You're kind of like needing to like shoot, edit, deliver mm-hmm. on like such a punishing schedule. Not always, but like that you kind of, it's almost like you don't have the space to step back and be like, what do I really love about this? So I don't know, especially if you're going to be doing education, like I think that it's important for you to have a clear relationship for yourself, like with your photography, so that you can kind of help lead people to like their own relationship, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, when you're self-employed, my thing is I'm like, you need to just be 100% in love with your job. Otherwise, like, go back to a 9-to-5. Get health insurance if you're in America. I'm like, yeah, at least have some benefits. Like, you became your own boss to have a wonderful, beautiful job. So either make it that way or, you know, might be time to reevaluate.
Yeah. And you had like a real reevaluation moment when you'd sort of like burnt your life to the ground, in your own words.
Yeah.
And how did you like realign yourself and your expression so that like now you're like truly allowing yourself and what you have to offer to come through to the world? Like, I imagine like, you know, you had a bit of time for introspection, like you were in lockdown, you were by yourself. But like, can you let us in a little bit more into like what kind of self-inquiry you engaged in and like what that process looked like and like how you might recommend other people to begin to like do that for themselves?
Yes, I love this question. So I think the first thing that was so important to me, like you said, was just having that moment of clarity of like, okay, yes, I've been granted, you know, rock bottom in this situation. Hopefully anyone listening does not have to get to rock bottom to like do this type of self-inquiry. Like you can do this all the time. I feel like I make it a very continual practice, but to like look at myself and really be like, what do I want out of my life truly? Like, what is it that I want to experience? How do I want to engage with my work and my loved ones? How do I want to navigate my time in this world? How do I want to show up? How well do I want people to know me? What does that look like for me personally? And I think that's, it's a really hard question to ask. And I think a lot of us want to hear, you know, some easy answers or almost like a formula that they can plug and play, but it's different for everyone. And it continually changes. Like my priorities now at 28 are different than I was 24 and just got a divorce. My priorities are different living in Manhattan or living in New York, paying New York rent than they were living in Utah, right? Be different if I had kids. There's so much nuance to it. But I think the first thing before you even bring your business into things is to just really get honest with yourself and ask yourself, like, what do I want my life to look like? And how does that operate? Get down to the nitty gritty, get down to the logistics, get down to the, you know what? I don't want to work weekends ever again. I mean, obviously this isn't going to work for wedding photographers. Sorry guys, but maybe it can just be like, I want to take at least 2 to 3 days off a week. I don't want to be working after 5 p.m. My clients are not allowed to text me. All of those three things are things that I implement in my business. You know, I want to have a really beautiful personal relationship with my clients, but I don't want to feel like their therapist. I want to feel like I can really show myself and show my strengths and have them do the same. So I think the first thing is kind of identifying your boundaries and goals that would lead to a really beautiful life. And then you can bring the business into it and ask yourself, you know, what are my strengths as a human being? That's always what I like to ask people when they're trying to identify their brand is I'm like, what do you bring to the table? Like, I know you bring something. And if you can't identify it, another great question is to text your friends and family and say, like, how do you feel when you're around me? Like, what is your favorite part of our relationship? What do you feel I contribute to your life? I know it's easier sometimes to get those answers from other people than it is ourselves. Mm-hmm. I suggest doing self-work until you can't say it about yourself. But, you know, if you got to start with other people, please do. But think of those things first as a human, because that's truly where like the fulfillment comes in our work when we're able to be ourselves and like really express our true being and bond with people over that and help people with that. But then it's also twofold because, you know, it's a cliche for a reason. There's no one like you. And so if you're showing up in your business truly as yourself and, you know, as the overused word authentic, then you're not going to have any competition. Like no one's going to be able to do what you do like you do. So the more honestly you can show up, the more fulfillment you're going to have both personally and financially, which is just, you know, the dream.
Totally. And so like when you're asking yourself the questions, your suggestion would be to sort of start more broadly and ask yourself like what kind of life you want to live and then like kind of like drill down slowly into like how can you create a business that supports that?
Yeah, I think like really painting a specific clear picture on what that looks like and then asking yourself like what boundaries would have to take place in order for that to be true, right? So maybe the question is, or maybe the thought is, you know, again, I want to take 3 days off a week. I don't want to be working or answering texts or emails after 5 p.m. And I only want my clients to email me. Like we can't be texting. Those are three like really hard boundaries in my business. So then you can look at those goals and be like, how can I make sure that I honor these? So for example, every Wednesday, I have therapy. It's blocked off. I don't take any meetings on Wednesday. The only exception is if I'm going out of town and like have to cram something in, but no one can schedule anything on Wednesday. It's my personal day. I have therapy. I take care of myself. I clean my house and nothing can be scheduled on the weekends. So those are my 2 to 3 days. And then, you know, I want to take off multiple weeks during the year. For me personally, this looks like I love being able to take trips in the summer, especially, and then usually like 1 to 2 in the winter. travel is really, really important for me. And so that looks like batching things. That looks like setting those weeks aside ahead of time so that they're on the calendar and they're honored just like any other appointment. Mm-hmm. When it comes to my clients not texting me, like that is such, that's one of the hardest rules in my business is that my clients cannot text me. I'm like that person with like 300 unread texts. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to see it. Can't. Don't do it. And so when anyone signs any contract with me, I make them initial next to that. It says that they can only use my phone number in case of emergency, which, spoiler alert, there's never going to be one because I'm not a doctor or a firefighter.
Yeah.
So totally. I'm like, I don't know which creative needs to hear this. There's not really creative emergencies. It's just literally, it's not a thing. They don't need to have constant contact with you.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah. So like, those are the things that like set the emotional boundary first, envision what that looks like, and then be like, how can I make this a tangible boundary that will uphold these things within my life and business?
Yeah. And I mean, I think you've kind of spoken a little bit about like the boundaries, like between you and your clients, but like, I also feel interested in like how you create those boundaries, like within yourself. Like, we've spoken a lot about how like your personal life and your business are intertwined, but it's also important to create space between like you and your business / like your personal life and your work life. And like maybe some of that has to do with like social media and like sharing who you are. Like, how do you like, can you speak a little to the strategy around like the areas of overlap and separation where like so much of like, you know, your brand is about like being an open book and like sharing like what's going on for you personally. But do you have any, and you don't have to say what they are, but like, do you have any internal boundaries for yourself where you're like, that's actually something that I'm not going to share? Or do you sort of just like approach it on a case by case basis?
Oh, I'm like so happy you asked this question because it's one of my favorite things to talk about. Because I, like you said, I love talking about personal brands. I love sharing so many aspects of my life. And it's pretty often that I have people come to me to be like, you're an open book. I know everything about you. I don't want to do that in my business. Like, what do I do?
Interesting.
And it's, yeah. And it's so fun to look at people and be like, you actually don't know everything about me. There are so many things that you're never going to know about me. And that's because I have two rules. For me personally, one of my personal boundaries is that my friends and family don't get spoken about. That is a personal rule for me. If you are familiar with my work or like my Instagram or anything, which is where I personally show up the most, you will never see my friends' faces and you'll never see my family's faces. It's like a very, very hard rule for me. The only exception is my friend Seth, and that's because I met him in the wedding world. So like, he was also a photographer when we met. But my personal people do not get brought into work. That is like a very, very steadfast rule for me, to the point where someone, I'll like never forget it. When I first moved to New York, someone messaged me and it was so sweet. It was like genuinely so kind. But they were like, hey, it looks like you're like really lonely. I just want to make sure that you like have friends and are okay. Like, I never see you with people.
It's like, if it's not on social media, it's not real.
Like, it's not real. And I was like, this is so sweet of you. Like, thank you so much for checking in. I do have friends. I am okay.
Yeah.
I just don't share them here. But that's like a personal boundary that I set for myself of just like, people don't need to know my family or my friends. And those are something that that's such a treasured part of my life that I never want the internet to touch. Like, I remember like several years ago, someone was going through, they had like copied my whole site and then they went and followed everyone who followed me. Not everyone, but like a big portion of them were my friends and family. And it got to the point where even like my siblings who were minors were like, do you know this photographer? Like, they're following me. And that is like where my bear came out of just like no one gets to know my family. Like,
yeah.
Do not contact my family. That is my private life. So yeah, especially since then, I've like really buckled down that like people don't need to know that. That's my own personal thing. Which leads me to like my second point, because it's funny to say like, yeah, I won't show my friends' faces, but I openly talk about my divorce, right? Like those things seem really almost like counterintuitive. But my second rule when sharing anything in my business is that it has to both be helpful to me and it has to be helpful to other people. It can't be one or the other. If it is only going to be helpful for me to talk about, that's for a therapist. That doesn't need to go on my business page, right? That doesn't need to be spoken about publicly. Mm-hmm. And if it's only going to be helpful for other people and not me, then like that's someone else's thing to do. Like, that's just not my calling. And so that's kind of my rule with speaking up things in my personal life is like, is this going to help both me and the person hearing it?
This podcast is brought to you by the Unscripted Posing app, the one-stop shop photography app for photographers looking to up their posing game, streamline their business, and look and feel like a professional. With Unscripted, you'll confidently rock every shoot, capture those emotion-filled images you've been craving, and create a fun photo shoot experience for everyone, including you. Join over 200,000 photographers and search Unscripted in your app store now.
Wow, I feel like just the fact that you have those two rules and you can so readily articulate what they are feels to me like such a strong testament to the fact that you have really thought about strategically like what you're sharing and like what you're not. I can imagine that it would have been really scary to sort of like openly start talking about like your divorce. And I kind of want to loop back around to that a little bit because you had said that like the most profitable month of your business was like during like the time of your divorce. Can you talk about your life during this time?
Yeah, this is one of my, like, I think it was a mix of cosmic intervention and hard work, but there's definitely no way it was just me. But the month that I wasn't planning on asking for a separation for several months, and I just woke up one day in October and like knew it was time. It was one of those things where I was like, I don't know what's going on, but this is like the strongest gut feeling I have, and we're going to have to go with it. And so during that month of October, I decided to ask my ex to move out and separate and file for divorce. And that all happened the week that I launched my indoor and artificial lighting course. So my like flash photography workshop. And at the time I was doing education like very much on the side. I had launched like a harsh light workshop, but like it was not like a super profitable part of my business. And I launched the artificial light workshop. I thought it would do well. I got a lot of questions on flash photography. It's like still to this day, one of my favorite things in the world, but I had a 40K launch. And that was easy. Yeah. I'm like, I made 40K in a month, and that money I'm registered in the US as a business that has to pay, like I have to pay myself monthly, and then I can give myself quarterly bonuses. And so I couldn't take that money at that time. It had to sit in my business bank account. And so I didn't have access, but it ended up being a huge blessing in disguise because I got wiped pretty clean in my divorce. Wow. I like really needed it to be over quickly. And so I kind of just let my ex do what they needed to do and take what they needed to take. And so a lot of that included a lot of money. And so, you know, there was a month where I had like $200 in my bank account after being, you know, a six-figure like business owner for years. Everything was gone. And it ended up being this huge blessing because just a couple months later after my divorce had finalized, I was finally able to pay myself that money. And that money is 100% what gave me the opportunity to like start my life over again and move to another state and like restart my life and my business and all of these things. And it was such a, again, like a mix of like hard work and I think divine intervention. I'm not like a super spiritual person, but I'm like something was involved there.
Yeah.
Just because the timing like to the week was just so, so perfect. And so, yeah, it was really wild, but I truly believe it was such a testament to showing up for myself. And the person that launched that course, the person that was showing up for that launch, that person that was wanting to, you know, that version of me that was wanting to get all of that knowledge into other people's hands was the same person who was like finally standing up for themselves, finally taking their life back, finally declaring that they were going to prioritize themselves. And I think there's so much to say for that. Like the way that we operate in our personal lives is going to bleed into the way that we show up for work. Like that version of me that existed that month was easily one of the like bravest, most tenacious versions of myself that's existed. Mm-hmm. And that bled into that launch because it was the same person launching that was having to, you know, show up in that way in every other aspect of life. And so I think it's just another testament to like, you know, you have to take care of yourself first. You have to do those internal check-ins and you have to see if you're showing up as the kind of human and business owner that you want to be. Because if you're defeated and sad or let down or whatever the, you know, quote unquote negative emotion is that maybe you're feeling, that's the same person running your business. And that's going to affect the way that things operate.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I mean, I guess looking back now, like you could probably have seen that like you had been maybe like defeated and sad for a while. But like, you know, before that morning that you woke up with that like really, really strong gut feeling, like what are some signs that you can look back on that like you know to look out for now that like it's time to like let go of some things that were like no longer serving you?
That's such a good question. I think there's obviously like varying degrees of extremity. If something's really bad, it shows up in my body a lot. Like I'll just be very tense. I won't sleep well. One of the like biggest tell is like my eyes get really dull. Like if I look at pictures of myself during hard times, I can always tell that there was like a dullness in my eyes that isn't there when I'm taking care of myself and prioritizing myself. But one of the biggest things that I tell people to look for, and it's something that I honestly am doing like an internal check-in nearly constantly on now, is this majority of the time enjoyable? And that applies to everything, right? Nothing's perfect. It can't be 100% enjoyable all the time. But like, is whatever aspect of your like life that you want to put in, whether that's your relationship, your business, the way that you're marketing, the way that you interact with your clients, the way that you're producing work, is it most of the time, like majority, 80% enjoyable and exciting and fulfilling? And if not, that doesn't mean you need to end it, but you need to change it. There needs to be a pivot of some sort. And I have this check-in again, like constantly with myself. Like if I'm feeling frustrated about something or unmotivated or confused for a prolonged amount of time or more often than not, I'm going to sit down and be like, okay, let's get really honest. Let's really like pick through this with a fine tooth comb. Like what aspects of this aren't aligned right now? Because it should be better than this. It should be enjoyable, you know, and that again, it applies to everything. Our work should be enjoyable. Our relationship should be enjoyable. Our life should be enjoyable. And obviously there's a lot of nuance and circumstance that goes into that. But at the end of the day, a lot of things we can control or at least take actions to pivot. And so constantly having that check-in of like, is this enjoyable? Am I having a good time or does something need to be changed? Is just like one of the best ways to make sure that you stay on the right track.
And also like really being able to cultivate that belief that like things should be enjoyable. Like I think that you have to have a pretty decent sense of self-worth to like really believe that like you deserve a life that is a majority of the time like enjoyable. And so like to be able to harness that frustration that like things aren't where you know they should be as like a tool to like motivate yourself to like bring more energy to like whatever it is, like your business, your relationship, your marketing, like, you know, like I feel like there needs to be that like base level of just belief that it should be enjoyable.
Oh, absolutely. I think like one of the biggest game changers for me, because I used to be one of those people when I would see people that were super happy, I literally thought they were lying. Like I thought they were lying. Like I was like,
what are you hiding?
Like, no, literally. I was like, there's literally no way. Like that doesn't make any sense to me. Like I don't get it. They have to be lying. And one of the like big game changers for me outside of therapy, medication, go to a therapist, go to a psychiatrist, all of the things. But as far as like self-work goes, one of the biggest things that has changed the way that I treat myself is by thinking of myself as a third person. And like, stick with me for a moment because it sounds kind of crazy.
I hear you. Yeah.
But like, anytime I want to be down on myself, I'm like, okay, I'm going to envision I'm someone else, that it's entering this room and witnessing a human feeling this way, going through whatever, you know, I'm going through at the time, or who has just behaved the way I've just behaved, whatever it may be. And being like, how would I talk to this person and treat them if it was my best friend or my little sister or my mom? Like, would I tell them, because you know, when you're like sitting there and you do something stupid and you're just like, I'm worthless, I'm a sack of shit, I can't do anything right. Yeah. I would never talk to someone else that way.
Yeah.
That like, over my dead body, am I talking to anyone the way that I can sometimes talk to myself? And 100%. So it's been a big game changer to anytime that train of thought comes up of like, what is wrong with you? Why are you being like this? To be like, hold on. Would I say that to someone else? Would I say this to my best friend or my mom or my sister again, if they were going through this exact same thing? And the answer is always no. I would never speak to them that way. And it's so much easier to be nice to yourself when you try to think of how you would speak to someone else about it, or like really double down. Think of saying it to your child self. That one's always a killer. If you want to make like a childhood photo of yourself, your phone background, I promise you cannot look at your six-year-old self and talk to them the way that you talk to yourself internally.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I feel like those are all really useful tips because I think we all have a lot of like unwinding to do in terms of the way that we speak to ourselves. And I don't know what it is. You know, I imagine it's like different for everyone, but even just like that tangible, actually use a photo of yourself as a child as your phone background and like imagine yourself speaking to yourself like that. And it does reframe it in a way that's like, what?
What am I doing?
What am I doing? Yeah. What would you say is the most important tool in creating like a business that you really love? Like, has manifestation come into it at all? Or in terms of like mindset and really calling in something that you believe in, like, do you use manifestation as a tool to sort of propel yourself in the direction that you want to go?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that one, I'm a big like mixing science with woo-woo girly. It's like, I mean, a lot of my business is based on like, I say like system strategy and soul. It's like, of course we have, but also just a saying of like mixing data with the heart of things. And I'm the same with science and like manifestation, that for me, there is a woo-woo element to it, but also like, you know, there's so much science backing it. I always tell people to look into the reticular activating system, which is like the part of your brain that is trained to look for certain things, depending on how you program it, which is why, you know, when you're going to buy a red car, you start seeing red cars everywhere, or the reason why you can hear your name in a super loud room, even though you couldn't hear anything else. And if you wire your brain to look for opportunities, to look for goals, to look for, you know, connections that you could make that could make you achieve your goals, like your brain will start conditioning itself to find those things in a way that it couldn't before. So even if you're not a woo-woo girly, I always am like, nope, there's science to also back this up. So I love having concrete goals that I want to hit, but also I really lead with the practice of like, I want this, but you can give me something like this or better. That's kind of how I manifest this sentiment with the universe and kind of like contract with the universe that is like, I want this, but you can also give me something better. Like, if this is not for my highest good, feel free to give me something better and I will trust you on that. And I think like a really big part for me as well that I always recommend to people is setting aside like emotional goals to go alongside your tangible goals. And what I mean by that is it's really easy at the end of the day to like say a number you want to hit. Maybe that's 100K. What are you going to do with it? What's the plan? Where's that 100K going? When I first started earning good money, one of like my big goals was that I wanted to be able to take my mom on vacation. And I got to do that right before the pandemic. It was like January, February, 2020. But it was so much more motivating to work, to have the money to take my mom on a like all expenses paid vacation than it was to just work for a sticky note that's at 100K. Or right now, like I want to easily, you know, have my apartment in New York City and also eventually buy a home upstate, foster kids, retire my parents. That is thinking about that every day is so much more motivating than just a number. And that doesn't mean you can't manifest with the numbers as well. Definitely have them. I think that they're very important, but also give yourself that tool for emotional connection and even ability to envision the future that you want to have, because you're going to feel so much more energetically called to what you're hoping to create with that money than just the thought of green paper bills.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it also gives you a point where you can be like, okay, I have enough.
Yeah.
You know, not that like you should ever stop growing and like progressing, but I don't know. I feel like it's easy as well to get caught on the hamster wheel of like more, 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 like just for the sake of it. But I feel like having that tangible goal of like, okay, I've arrived somewhere, you know?
Yes. I was listening to a podcast today where they were talking about the difference between like wealth and being rich. And being rich is having a lot of money. But like, what good is that if you never even have time to use it, right? Maybe it's literally that you go home and you sleep for 6 hours and you go back to work. I would hate to be rich in that format. But wealth is when you get to live a life both inside and outside of work in a way that you wants to. And that's the thing you get to define. Like, yeah, like you said, there might come a point where you're like, I have all the money I need and more. So if I start earning more money than that, great. Where's it going to go? Like, I always tell people, I'm like, the day I start taking home 500K is the day the rest of my income just doesn't ever touch my bank account. I'm like, that will just go to charity and or my family, because no one would ever need more money than that, even living in New York.
It's like a job to try and find ways to spend that money. Like,
no, truly. I'm like, there is a point where you don't need it anymore, truly. And so how beautiful is it that you can work to that point and then, you know, take a step back and be like, okay, what do I want to do now? How can I grow in different ways? Maybe it's not just financially. Maybe you've hit the cap that you want to financially. Maybe now you can learn to, I don't know, knit, do something, a hobby, spend time with your loved ones.
Totally. Yeah. I feel like a reminder just that like wealth is personal and that it doesn't have to look like a certain way. And like the reason that we're working is generally to live more fulfilled lives. So not to let work eclipse the point of why we're working.
Absolutely.
We're just kind of starting to wind up a little bit here, but I kind of just wanted to finish with a bit of insight into like your business coach leadership style and what is it like to work with you? What does your leadership look like? How many clients do you take on? What are your values? Give us a little bit of like a look into what it would be like to work with you.
Yeah. So right now my business is set up in a way where we have a lot of online offerings. It's really important to me that I, one, as you can probably tell, have a personal life outside of the business, but to be able to, when I show up for my clients, really show up entirely. And so I take on a limited amount of one-on-one coaching clients a year. I take on around like 12, and those are 9 to 12 month programs. And then twice during the year, I open up what I call VIP days, which are essentially almost like a one-day personalized workshop for your business where we just deep dive on everything. I'm always like very clear with my clients that I'm going to teach them what they should do and how to do it, but they are the ones that get to do it themselves. And so that's a really, really integral part of my, you know, corner of the internet, whether you're just listening to my podcast or you're paying for a whole year long program, is that like at the end of the day, like you're the one that gets to make this happen. Unless I'm buying out your business, like I don't get to decide what you do. I don't get to implement it for you. And so my clients are, they're really motivated people. They're self-starters. They're willing to make hard changes in order to see long-term growth and fulfillment. And that's one of the things that's really, really important to me is just that they're committed to showing up for themselves rather than just expecting me to show up for them, because that's unfortunately not how coaching works. And I think it definitely needs to be talked about more often. I'm like, it's, you know, like give someone a fish versus teaching them to fish. I can give, you know, short-term solutions, but at the end of the day, I want to help people with long-term sustainable growth that's going to lead them to beautiful lives, both now and in the future. And so I ask for a lot of trust, and I ask for, you know, self-starters, people who are motivated. I kind of call it like the grit of being an entrepreneur. Being entrepreneurs, not for the faint of heart, as I'm sure you know, there's aspects to it that can be really hard or tiring. It's truly like our heart and soul, especially if you're an artist. And so there's going to be uncomfortable, but how beautiful is it that we're gifted this life where we get to be uncomfortable and grow and see change and build these businesses where we get to do what we love while also having a life outside of it that we love.
And like with the 9 and 12 month programs, do you sort of like custom build like a program for each of your clients depending on what they need? Like, is it kind of a Zoom meeting once a month, or how do they usually play out?
Yeah. So the 9 to 12 month programs, it's called the Becoming Program. And one of my favorite things about it is that it is completely tailored to you as a person and business owner. Everyone's business is so different that I don't think one-on-one coaching can ever be blueprinted. It's the same reason why I don't do masterminds or like group coaching, because I just think there's too much nuance to people's lives and businesses and personalities to kind of give them a blueprint. So really how it works is, one, before we even get started on any calls, I always ask my clients to, one, work through, they get access to like all of our online resources, including my branding course. And so I ask them to work through part of that first. And then I ask them to also send over to me like all analytics, all data that they possibly have on their business. Because again, I truly believe businesses is like where soul meets strategy. And so I want to see what's been working. I want to see what you've been making, what your expenses have been, what your analytics look like for marketing, where your clients are finding you, what your income has been. Like every piece of data you have, I want to see it. Because if something's working, I want us to keep pushing on that. And at the same time, I want to get to know you as a human and what you bring to the table and where that's maybe shining already or not shining at all so that we can really bring that to light. And then after that, there is, depending on the length of program, but the 9-month program, it is Zoom calls every 6 weeks that are 75 minutes long. At the beginning and end, there's also a full call. So it ends up being 8 calls on that one. And the only thing I'm really strict on is that the first call is about branding, because your brand bleeds into everything that you do. I'm like, it's going to affect your marketing, your client experience, your goals, your art, like it's going to affect everything. So we have to get that laid out first, and then we can dive into other things. And then other than that, we kind of map out your goals, work backwards on how we're going to hit them, and then dedicate each call to moving you towards those goals. After the program wraps up, we also have like a call 6 months later, which is really nice to see how things have been going, how you've been executing. And in between each call, you get access to me on this application called Marco Polo, which is video chatting. So it's really nice because obviously 6 weeks is a lot of time. Questions are going to come up. And so I get to have continual conversations with my clients throughout the week so that you basically like get access to me for almost a year, or if you do the 12-month program, almost a year and a half, which is really nice. So it's my favorite thing. I love it. I get to form really, really beautiful, fulfilling relationships with these creatives and women who trust me with their lives and their business, which is just such an honor in and of itself. And it's been really beautiful to see what people are capable of when they really dedicate themselves to showing up for themselves.
Wow. That sounds so fulfilling for you and for them. And you have like so many incredible, like sparkling reviews, like on your Instagram, on your website. So you're definitely doing something right. What new and exciting things can we expect to see from you this year?
Yeah, so I'm really excited. I just launched a creative marketing agency, which has been really, really fun to open up in an entirely new business. So that just launched like 2 months ago. It's called Amara the Agency, and we do everything from branding to content production, social media marketing and management. And it's been really, really lovely and fun to break into, you know, different work outside of the photography and wedding industry. So that's been really fun. And I'm trying to think of what else. Yeah.
I mean, like, that's huge.
Yeah. That one was a
big one. You don't need to say anything else.
Yeah, that one was big. I'm also hosting like a really beautiful luxury wedding photography retreat in Tulum with my friend Molly of Make Pretty, which I'm just incredibly excited about. It is like the biggest in-person event I've ever been a part of. We're making it like a combination of both of our strengths. So it will be like a full retreat on my end, how I usually operate them, then combined with her workshop company, Make Pretty. So there will be like multiple luxury, high-end, incredible destination shoots in Tulum. So that one's going to be magical. I'm like giddy.
Wow. Okay. Cool. We'll have to include all of these links in the show notes. But yeah, it's so exciting. It's so much to see. And I'm so excited to see where Amara sort of goes. And thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been so awesome having you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate it.
After listening to this interview, I want you to think about what you want your business to look like. And when you think about that, where do you start? I've personally really liked Eden's suggestion to approach it with big picture questions first, just to keep everything in perspective. What do you want your life to look like? What kind of boundaries do you need to put in place to protect your lifestyle? What are your personal strengths? And what would you like to achieve? And as we spoke about in the podcast, it's not about the number in your bank account, because wealth is personal. You have your own personal goals, and it's up to you to define them and take the time to celebrate your achievements before pressing ahead to the next thing. If you're wanting to take a deeper look at your business and the strategies around it, there are plenty of ways to work with Eden. I've included links in our episode show notes so you can connect. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. This podcast was created on the unceded land of the Bundjalung people, and we pay our respects to elders past, emerging, and present.